All right, do you guys want to talk about implementing with Teams today? This is more the invisible ink part of the conversation, but before we jump into that, I want to start with some wins from between our last call and this one. So I'm going to pick, let's see, let's do three just in the interest of time. Do we, who's got a big win to share? Something positive that has happened, progress?
Jared does.
All right, Jared and then Isaac.
Jared took 45 days off in the last 40
Yes, can we give Jared, that is awesome sauce. Oh my God, yes.
And super limitless. And we're still here with all the clients and all the things. So it's
really nobody died. Look at that. I remember when I first, this was my first goal. My goal was to go on vacation for a month, like to literally check out, And it's a really good thing that I did that because I came back and very shortly thereafter had a premature baby and had to be off for months and my business still ran while being acquired. It was super fun. I do not recommend that if you can avoid it. But I came back to one manila envelope. I was like, this envelope will contain anything that requires my attention that no one else can do. And there were two pieces of paper in it after a month. And I was like, yes. And then the universe was like, let's test that theory. But I have to tell you, for me, it was without question a watershed moment where I was like, holy shit, I can literally leave my business and be in this hospital with this baby all day, every day for months on end. And it runs. Like, I think the team brought me like a folder once a week where I'd be like, okay, I think I'm coherent. I will try to sleep for 4 hours and read what is in this folder. And the place worked beautifully. Now, at that point in our evolution, was it going to grow considerably? No. That's one of those leverage gaps that we have to fill. But could we maintain the ship in a sustainable way for an extended period of time? Absolutely, we could. And quite honestly, you all are in a much better spot than we are with regard to that, because the nature of your relationship is recurring. And it's based on a very repeatable system, coaching in as well, but just the economics of it and the way that people, it's very different. So once you get that core base of clients set, it's a really incredible business. Our goal is to implement those changes, which we're going to talk about today. So Jared, that's incredible. When we think about that first conversation about accountability gap a couple of years ago, and then we fast forward to, based on the hard work that you and Tiffany have done with the team, really poignant as we tee up this conversation for it to be right after that work has really put you in a position to do that and come back with what looks to be a smile on your face.
Smile on my face and a little bit of a tan. So I'll take it.
Only because you spent 45 days with your kids, right? I was like 3 weeks in Greece with you guys and rocks. It's awesome.
Well, and you know, thinking about the power of what doing all of this work with teams means is that, you know, I can take that time and Tiffany can take that time, and we're counting summers left with our kids. You know, going into this one, I knew I had 12 summers left. We just had an awesome one and now we're down to 11. And so it's like, we're going to make those moments count, but it doesn't work without a team to actually make sure that the clients are taken care of and the business runs appropriately and all of those things. So I think it's a great time to be able to have the conversation today.
Well, we think about the intensity of us as founders, right? And the driving and the striving, the feeling like everything's got to get done yesterday. And right, Jared has that lens. Christy Rains has it. I years ago started like, how many Christmases and summers do I have with my kids? And it was suddenly like 7, 6. This year with Parker, we're down to 4. Next year it will be 3. And so when I think about all those ideas, those things I want to implement, all those things that I have to fix, then I'm like, in service of what and at the cost of? And so it's not that our businesses aren't important, but it's how we really integrate those two facets of our life in a way that works, but also in a way that feels good. So it's one of the great things about this conversation is the more we can create leverage with our team, the more we get that kind of headspace. Isaac, you had a win too, I think.
I do. Finally, this equity transaction that we've been talking about doing forever, it feels like, is done. We officially closed on July 1st, like the loan financing and all that stuff went through I think last week in the money exchange hands and all that stuff. So feels good. We announced it to the team in combination with two new shareholders buying in last week, which went well, was well received and all that. And we're sending out the notice to clients this week. So I don't know. It feels good for multiple reasons, not the least of which is just being done and getting on to the next thing.
Yeah, exciting. That's awesome. Woo! Everybody give Isaac high five. That's a big, big deal. Moving the needle, you guys. All right, Neil, did you have one too? Or was that just your enthusiasm for Isaac earlier?
It was my enthusiasm, but now that you put me on the spot, I'll make something up.
All right. Does anyone have a better than Neil's made up on the spot win?
No. Well, my made up on the spot is I had this conversation with my sister and things worked out. So she's going to actually leave and find something that she's going to be fulfilling and happy for her. And in fact, she's had her, she leaves in a couple of minutes. She's going to head out to her third interview with the St. Louis Symphony. So
that's huge. That's a huge win.
Yeah. And at least as Neil, as you communicated it to me, just her energy and her being are lighter and more joyful. And Neil, it feels like you're processing it in a really constructive and healthy way. I mean, it's obviously a shift for you and the firm, but what do you want to tell everybody how you and the team are taking it?
Well, this is an iced tea. This is actually some of Joe's bourbon. So take it
very well. That's right. It's like, I'm feeling great.
No, we're taking it all right. Like it was a hard conversation, but it's good for everyone. And we're using it as an opportunity. So once Kate does leave sometime in August, then we're going to take our time and figure out what we want everything to look like. We're going to keep the same vision, the same plan. We might take a different road to get there, but we'll figure it out. And we're going to use it as an opportunity to make this one of the best things that could have ever happened to our business.
Yeah. And that's the frame that we really want to get to, which is if you are able to sit in a space of addressing those uncomfortable conversations, they are ultimately, even when it's not easy, they are in service of everyone engaged in that process. Kate will be happier. Neil and the team will be able to make sure that every person and resource on that team is super aligned with no energy being spent on, right, not quite clicking or fitting. So in the end, the things that are the hardest ultimately can sometimes be the things that are best for the business. And that's the frame that we try to get to. What would it take for this to be the best thing that happened, which is sometimes a really hard question to hear, but it can get those gears of your mind thinking about where is the opportunity in this, which is a much more positive and empowered view than, oh crap, we are going to have to deal with this. And that was where Neil was coming from in the first place, because he really brought the conversation space. So Neil, I really want to commend you for having the level of clarity that you had, for acting on it so quickly after some of those conversations that really surfaced it, and for doing the really hard work of acting in integrity in service of your sister, your team, and your business. That is not always easy work to do. So I just want to give you kudos for that. All right. We've all had to sit in those spaces, and they're hard and they're uncomfortable. But when we do that work, it tends to work out better for everyone. So I think that's a good segue into today's conversation with me, Tiffany, and Jared, really talking about, as we implement with teams, we've talked a lot about the structure and the meetings and the projects and the quarterly business reviews and the priorities, but we all know there's like this invisible ink that sits in between all those structures, sort of the self-reflection and the strategy of conversation, and how do we create spaces that we can surface these kinds of issues and create accountability and manage momentum and move things along. So as we kick off, we thought we would start with a question of, what is your biggest challenge or frustration when it comes to implementing projects and making progress with your team? And just so we have some more time to talk about this, because we're going to break into groups a little bit later, I'm going to ask you to drop this in the chat, but I'm going to ask everyone on the call to answer it. What is your biggest frustration or challenge when it comes to implementing projects and making progress with your team? I once had a client answer this question with, I don't know why they don't have, why can't they have a crystal ball? And I was like, well, That is a very special skill set for which you're going to need to pay an awful lot of money, but if you're willing. See, breaking the way things always have been done, need to be the one to drive it forward, right? I have to have my foot on the gas is a very common complaint. If you're in the car and you're driving and you're pointing and your foot's on the gas, everything's great. But if you get out, it all shuts down. Let's see, balance of communicating big picture with the details, being time oriented, right? Being the only one moving things forward. Most of these in some way are going to deal with two things, momentum, right? I have to push, or personal responsibility. Someone is not doing something. And if the process breaks down, we just go to the process, we fix the process, right, Kim? And the process works. Oh, if people were that simple. Hey, there's a breakdown. I'd like to communicate the process. Can we agree you will fix this? Yes, done. If it were that easy, right, we'd all be five times bigger. We have to really manage that space between people, process, and platforms, and that momentum and that kind of personal accountability. So as you think about this, we thought it would be good to really go through the conversation through one of the lenses that came up at our leaders retreat. I think most of you had left. Tiffany, Neil, Joe, and I were sitting around having a conversation and talking about their practices and whiteboarding. I can't even remember. And we were talking about sort of, you know, balance, the wheel of life is a very common thing in coaching, right? How are you balanced in your life? And what we're really trying to create, what each of you want in some form or fashion, if you look at your big whys, is a leverage, because that leverage creates space. And that space with reliability and capital equals freedom. Space, by the way, without reliability and capital, if Jared had gone on vacation for 45 days and he didn't have that reliability and didn't have that capital, would it have been as easy and joyful? No. All the awesomeness of Jared's vacation would not have been awesomeness, right? So leverage is, can we put those tools, people, process, and platform in place? Reliable is, can we build the systems and structures and the accountability mechanisms to make sure that they work? So I want you to take out a piece of paper. I want you to draw your version of this circle. You don't have to write all the words. You can just imagine them. In the middle is zero. Zero is you have zero leverage. Tiffany is the only one that can do this, right? Or she is the one doing it, right? We'll take back the only one who can is the one doing it. Liz, where are there places that you're the one doing things? 10 is you are completely leveraged, right? At the level that I just look at it, sign off, away we go, right? So where are you in each area? Compliance, financial planning, business management. And then I want you on that line to plot with just a dot where you are, a scale of 1 to 10. So I'm going to give you just a minute to do that. Tiffany and Jared, I should have had you do this a couple of years ago and then fast forward. So we should just have you do what it felt like back then version, and it would be like all zeros, right? Like, I can't breathe.
It was a very small circle a couple of years ago. It's much bigger and not quite uniform, but it's better.
Have you seen the like meme trend that's happening right now, or like the little quotes where it's like, he's a 10, but you know, he wears green on Wednesdays type of thing? Like, I was just, I'm just like, I'll be your 10 in business development, but I'm doing operations.
All right. Has everybody kind of assembled their first stab at it? Now I want you to connect your dots. Like you're drawing, right? You're a contiguous line. Once you've done that, hold it up so that we can all see it. Hold on, Joe, can I see that again? Yeah. Looks a little bit like a spider web or a squished snowflake, sad little snowflake. Who else has one?
It's a wheel that won't roll.
There's Liz's. Okay. So looks a little bit like an asteroid or space star. Are you guys getting the idea here? David, what's yours look like? What happens if you connect those dots?
Nothing good happens if you connect the dots.
Well, that's just, so what's really powerful about the exercise is when I had Neil and Joe do this, it was literally one of those organic things that just comes up. And then I said, that's why it feels this way. Imagine that you're a wheel and that's your momentum. Now, if you are a small lifestyle practice and you have limitless core principles, you won't have a big wheel and it might spin relatively fast because you're doing everything. But if you create right consistency, you'll have a smoother wheel. If you're a 10 or a 7 or 8 in everything or pretty consistently, you're going to have a smoother ride. And so I just thought it was a powerful visual story version of why the day-to-day feels the way that it does. So are we keeping it tight, but we're spinning really fast, right? You have, right? Small, tight teams will operate well that way, but the price you pay is that spin. Big bureaucratic teams roll along really smooth, sometimes slower than they want, right? Our job is to figure out what's our version of 10. Can you look at the business and identify impact from a leverage perspective? Like, where can we implement changes to bring leverage to me as the function of time? Time is your greatest revenue producing asset. So managing and leveraging your time, both personally and professionally, is step one. And then step two is, how does that circle or ripple throughout the organization? So if you're a zero in something and it's really pulling that your line in, you might not get to 10 in the next 6 months, but you might be able to get to 2 or 3 or 5. And so look at those wheels through the lens of how can you start to even things out and smooth out that momentum? Because if I'm David and I'm working with the team and I hit that really pointy part on the drawing, what kind of energy is required to keep that moving? Versus if it's a smooth wheel. Massive energy. It means I have to stop. It means I have to shift gears. It means I have to fix breakdowns. It means I have to talk to people. It means I have to do things that are well below the economic value of my time. So our goal is to get really clear where we're sitting on this leverage circle from a strategic perspective so that we can create leverage with our teams, whether it's operating leverage, right? Compliance, business, operations, advice leverage, who's engaging and delivering advice to the clients, growth and marketing leverage via the brand and the sales process and storytelling and advertising. Like, how are we creating leverage so that once you push the wheel, which is all those years and all the hours you're spending taking over practices, Liz and Isaac, right? You're investing a lot of that energy in the form of capital as you exchange someone else's energy for your finances, is how do we take all of the energy, David, that's been invested in this flywheel over the years and start to soften out that wheel so that all that energy just starts to move us forward faster because we're not doing the big clumps every time we've got to get over one of those humps or pull back to deal with one of those gaps. And we all feel those and we hate them as leaders and owners. When you have a vision and you see it and you know that if we could just get the pieces lined up, it would be amazing. Those pullbacks sting. And so if we could smooth out that energy and just get half of it back, Tiff and Jared, what happens?
Go a lot faster.
It goes a lot faster, right? You get 45 days off. That's what happens. Now, I know you guys take time, some of you more than others, depending on where you are in your maturity cycle with yourselves and your team. We also want to ask ourselves, what's the ease and joy with which we take that time? Are we smooth on the inside when we take it, or are we managing a bumpy inside and putting on a smile for our family because, you know, that's the right thing to do? Says she who has spoken from experience, right? Been there, done that. Not the favorite place to operate from, right? Do we ever feel good about that after the fact? Never. So this is just a visual. I would encourage you to draw it, print it, stick it on your wall, look at it every day and remind yourself that you are building your flywheel. Like, what is your smooth momentum circle look like? What's the next step, Isaac, as you look at growing the firm? What's the next step of that team, Joe? For those of you that are like, what's the next version of my team look like? This is where you start. We don't, all those forms and process, I love all that stuff, you guys, but you can run, you can build a firm on a cocktail napkin, which is get really clear what the problem is. And the problem is we don't have enough leverage consistently and reliably across the business. Now, to fix that means we're going to implement changes. Do we agree on that? And for pretty much all of you, you're going to implement those changes with the team. So if you have this perspective and we know that's the objective, then we can move into this conversation, right? There's your wonky flywheel. That thing does not roll well. It doesn't feel good. So it might work, but the reason it works is because you're filling in all those gaps with your energy, your babysitting, your reminding, your task listing for people. You're double checking. That's energy that is being diluted and distracted from the business. So we're going to play a game. Are you guys ready? Tiff and Jared are going to help me. All right. Jared, is question one. Oh, should I tell you the rules first? I don't want to cheat. So here are the rules of the game. One, you are required to participate. I see Mike's picture. I believe that he's there in spirit. He'll watch it later. If you can hear us, Mike, you're welcome to join us. So a picture is going to pop up. It's going to be Tiff or Jared. They're going to ask you a question. You are going to drop the answer in the chat in the interest of time. Honest Engines, Circle of Trust time. Your job is to drop your honest answer into the chat. The first person to drop their answer into the chat gets a point. There will be a winner. Are you guys ready? I'm trying to really appeal to your competitive strength as I push you into the land of vulnerability. Are you ready? Yeah. Jared, are you ready?
Ready.
All right.
Is he asking right. a question right now?
You have to ask it out loud. It makes
sense. Okay, there we go. All right. What is your biggest frustration or challenge when it comes to implementing projects, changes with your team? Yep. Same.
Having to think of everything. Good. All right. Tiffany, you ready?
Yeah. Name one project where lack of clarity has contributed to a breakdown in achieving the desired outcome or timeline.
Liz gets a point. Mike said driving, no drawing. Good call, Mike. We appreciate that.
Segmentation, onboarding, prospecting.
Neil, you're up.
Jared.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Jared. I'm looking at Neil.
Neil's like, what?
Like, you want me to read it? I'll read it.
He's like, doing that to me.
Mike, since you're driving, name one instance where you were allowed others to not be accountable because you wanted to avoid a conflict or were too busy, couldn't figure out how to approach it, et cetera.
Changing around staff duties, roles and responsibilities.
Except the pieces myself.
That's good.
Tiff and Jared would know nothing about doing work for their teams when their teams don't do that work. That would have never happened, would it have?
No.
Great. Tiff, our last question.
It's a hard habit to break. Give one example from the last 6 months where you're allowed a situation to, where you allowed a situation to exist or persist that doesn't meet your standards or expectations.
Now we're moving into real time.
Personal issues, that comes up a lot.
Ooh, prospect scripts, Isaac, that's a good one.
All right.
She says, I'm done with these questions.
yeah. I see.
Triggered.
All right. Name a project or change your team nailed with your leadership and oversight, but without your direct involvement. This is the time to share a win.
That's right. I wanted to leave you on a high note.
Recent CSA. Nice. Out of the hiring.
JRA leadership change for CVA in June. Great.
Nice.
All right. That is our last official question. I don't think I'm going to torture you anymore.
One more.
Oh, wait.
Right.
Let me see. Well, I got to click my. Yep.
One issue you'd like to address with your team around implementing, but you have not yet.
Moving team investments, paraplanner role, prospecting. Look at you, Neil. Team meeting this morning.
Nice.
All right. All right. And Liz went on video, so she might be doing something right now. So I want you to notice the feeling state of the first questions, outside of the fun of the truth of them all, that we have all experienced all of those things multiple times and regularly. And one of our favorite sayings in coaching is, feelings are your friend. They are there to help you and serve you. They're your indicators, your internal indicators. The you of you that says, David, this feels great. We love this. Embrace this. David, this does not feel great. We do not love this. Please account for this. Our problem, as we've talked about a lot, is we stuff those. So this first set of questions in a fun way is really meant to surface that, yeah, we all do this to an extent. And as leaders, we want to focus our energy and our team's energy on implementing in a way that's going to be easier, more effective, and more enjoyable, so that it's an experience that runs a little bit smoother like that wheel. How do we kind of pull out the lumps and the bumps in the process? So we wanted to revisit two conversations. One, and we're not going to go too deep into this because it's just going to come up in our conversations today, but it is clarity, transparency, and accountability. I want you to think about this last question. Second to last question, name a project or team that you nailed with your leadership and oversight, but without your direct involvement. Isaac, you had one there. What did you do different in that project? I think it was the CSA hire, different than some of those projects before that allowed your team to execute without your involvement so effectively? Like, how would you account for that?
Well, it seems like it's mostly a function of having a good process in place and the team having reps on that process already. And so, you know, I need to be less involved at that point.
Yeah. So the process is definition, clarity. It says, this is what the expectation is. This is how we get to a good outcome. Right. And then what was the other component that you mentioned, Isaac?
Just having reps with it. So they've practiced it. We've done it before.
All right. So when you heard Neil talk about this morning, he was like, no, there aren't any projects because we had our team meeting this morning and we set our priorities. So you guys have had a few reps, right? You guys have had a few up-bats at that, Neil. Like, the team is now in a momentum wheel of, right, have a meeting, set priorities, focus on priorities, get priorities done, come back. And so that's part of the structure that we've talked about in the managing priorities lesson, the projects and priorities lesson. Now what we really want to talk about is the part that we play in that. And this was actually kind of inspired by a conversation that Tiffany and I were having at Leaders. I think it was that same day with Joe and Neil. I can't remember, Tiff. I think it was on the walk to breakfast or something. We were just talking about, as we get these systems in place, you have top performers, like people who really just show up and get it. And then you have people that you really have to have kind of continuous conversations with. And there's this issue of, how do I frame the conversation? How do I manage that over time? Because as we talked about, we don't seem to just show up, go, hey, there's a problem. Could you please fix it? Walk away. And our work here is done. So we thought it would be really good to kind of revisit this idea, or to visit this idea rather, of constructive conversations. How can you manage to some of that invisible ink from a people perspective, so that as there are breakdowns in the process or the people side of it, you're in a position to account for them. So one, we want to look through the lens of setting up projects correctly, clarity, transparency, and accountability. If Isaac sits down with his team and says, we're hiring a CSA, this is where they fit in the model. This is what we're looking for. Here's the job description. Here's the process we followed every time. You guys have done this before. Here's the expected outcome. and that structure's in place, he can step away. Now, he could just as easily walk into a team and say, you know, here's a bullet point list of things I came up with at dinner last night. Please hire someone. And he could walk away. What's the probability he's going to get the outcome he wants the way that he wants it? Higher or lower?
Lower.
It's totally lower. We all know that. So that's job one, is as you think about what's going on in your environment, Tiffany and Jared had to go to their team and say, hey, we've been going through a period of huge change. We as leaders need to be focused and more accountable. Here's what we're going to do to shift the experience in this firm. So that clarity around why we are where we are and taking a creating transparency. Here's how we got here, and creating accountability. Right? The firm is at a place where it needs more, you need more, and we can do better. That's what we're going to do, right? And then they took those steps. So whether it's a firm level conversation, whether it's a project level conversation, hey, we need to get this project moving. Let's reframe that and refocus our momentum. Or whether it's a problem-based conversation. Neil had a conversation that spanned all of those. It was personal, it was professional, and it was showing up in the practice. Right. So how do we frame a constructive conversation? So Neil, this is exactly what we did in the condo with Ray, you and me and Joe. Like, okay, what's the honest conversation that we want to have here? So I want to talk through how we frame those constructive conversations and kind of the tenets of what makes them successful, which are obviously the six bullets on the page in front of you. So I just want to talk a little bit about that today. So we've talked a lot about creating this space, but understand we've had this conversation and I hope you're picking up on it around energy. Energy that you can focus your team with, energy that they can then focus their energy with. So this is really about how we help people understand where their energy is going, how we align our energy at a level, and then how we engage in those conversations in a way that feels better to everyone. So let's pause here. And let's talk a little bit about an issue. You had identified one earlier in our chat. So identify an implementation issue to improve upon. And then we're going to break out into groups and have you work through them. But first, we're going to talk through that constructive conversation framework. So does everybody have an implementation issue or something that they would like to address in some way that requires reframing, conversation, and a course of action or a change of course of action? All right. If you have nailed this and you have none, you can just, right, Neil, you can sit in your group and be super helpful. And then we'll all come back. Neil, you can talk through how you're going to implement some of the things that you're talking about and keep that momentum going and that just kind of the shifting energy that you've got. So I want you to look at this particular issue through the lens of, if I nailed this issue with my team, what would the outcome be? So can you drop your issue and the better outcome in the chat?
Stephanie, what was the second question? Not the issue, but the lens, sorry.
The lens that you're looking at through of, if I nailed this with my team, what would the outcome look like? So Liz would nail things without involvement and she would get on teams. So if your issue is right, so Neil's navigating, a major staff transition, is that an issue that he wants to have, right, constructive clarity and reframing and conversations around? Onboarding process, Kim, excitement from team, better onboarding for clients, Isaac, implementing our new service model. So I want everyone to have one issue that they really want to focus on. So we're going to take the next 20 to 30 minutes, probably 30. Let's see, we have David, 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll take 20 or 30 minutes. And then I'm going to have Allison break you into random groups because that's the easiest way to do it, as I understand it. I want you to identify this issue. So I'm going to have you go around, identify the issue. And then we're going to talk through in each of the groups. And Tiff and Jared and I will rotate through rooms, just constructive conversation, or just given the number of people, we might stay here. So that's issue. What is the implementation issue? And what is it that we want to solve for? If we nailed this, what would the outcome be? All right, everybody have something? Now I want to look at it through the lens of the constructive conversation. So on the clarity, transparency, and accountability side, have you created that clarity for your team? Here's the outcome and objective. Here's the what and the why. The transparency, here's how we're going to do it. Hey, we're implementing a new onboarding process. In order to do that, we're going to need to identify the breakdowns in our current rate system. Then we're going to map out the new process, identify the timeline, the track in terms of all the steps, right? We're going to identify who and how, then we're going to build client-facing deliverables, then we're going to build, right, here's what we're going to do over the next 90 days. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what you're going to do. Here's how we're going to manage it. We're going to meet every other Friday. We're going to break into teams. We're hiring an outside consultant. Whatever that structure is, have we provided that transparency of process and experience and engagement, right? What's expected? How are we going to surface that progress? And then the accountability piece, you'll notice I said, hey, we're going to meet every Friday or every other Friday to review our progress, check in on tasks and next steps, and make sure that we're moving forward. So that process of managing projects, however you've implemented it, is the track that these conversations run on. Without that track, it's a lot harder because you don't have an anchor. You don't have something to go back to. Does that make sense? All right. So Tiffany and Jared, I'm going to ask you to think back to when we first started having those conversations around the legacy issues, right? The team dynamics, all those shifts and change. When you think about kind of clarifying the objective, what was your experience in terms of making that shift and how you prepared for those conversations? Like, where were you starting, I guess, from an experience standpoint? What were the breakdowns?
Breakdowns were buy-in, which ultimately led into adoption and clarity. I mean, all of those things. So I think, you know, part of it was we would make a decision. We would kind of think about it and we would just like go in and have that conversation. And it wasn't as thoughtful of like decision, tell them versus decision. What is everyone's role in this? How is this going to affect the team? Like, so there's more pause points and like, not just like, what's going to be great, go to the team, like a lot more of that process is now built out and thinking through, when do we phase one piece in? Like, is it, we're going to go over the full project? Are we just going to go over pieces of it? So we've definitely shifted on like the approach to the teams versus being so fast at just like, here's an idea, we're going to the team.
So what you, Joe, go ahead, Jared.
From our list there, you know, clarifying the objective with the team was lacking. We had clarity of purpose among the two of us, but we didn't create curiosity. We didn't gain agreement. We were sort of taking things out of order.
Well, and that starts with, for us, as we approach whatever your situation is, right? It's onboarding or creating these changes, is how do you create clarity about what's happening in terms of what you need to account for? So with Tiff and Jared, the initial accountability anchor was a leadership culture, which was no fault. There was just the firm, right? Legacy, transitions, generational stuff. And you're busy and you come in and you, right? You're dealing with all the stuff. And then at some point you're like, wow, we've got to create a different kind of environment and experience here. And so what Tiffany really highlighted, and some of you have super invested teams, some of you have really invested teams, but we just haven't worked out that wheel in a way that everybody's energy can work really seamlessly together. And some of you have people who are quite honestly on the fence. We don't know and they don't know if they're going to move up, if they're going to move out. And we're never trying to create an experience that cushions that. We're trying to create a constructive experience. This is going to be so painful, just ask Neil, but it's better on the other side, that is a catalyst for that. Because if there's medicine to take, we want to take a little bit early instead of taking a lot later. Imagine, Neil, if 3, 4, 5, 6 years of, hey, I love you guys and it's okay, but I don't really want to be here. Right. So we put these conversations off, whether it's like, hey, things just aren't moving the way I want. Okay, I'll get to that. Berry feeling. Oh, so-and-so is not following up. I really don't like that. I'm going to berry feeling. And we do that 10, 20, 30 times a day. And that's when things are working well, if we're paying attention, right? Think about when things are really busy and changing and breaking down. And so those are the things that we want to get really tuned into, because that's energy that we're losing. So when we create that clarity, transparency, and accountability, and anytime you guys are starting a new project or a push or a change or something, and you need help reframing it, just reach out to us. We're happy to help you. But the goal is to lay that track so everybody knows what's happening, why it's happening, when it's happening, how it's happening, what's expected of them. So that you have that common language to constantly come back to. It could be as simple as we're going to check in every Friday on this just to make sure that we're moving forward. And you guys get to show up every Friday and be like, how's it going? That is a very basic structure, but it will get you started. You can obviously go up to the level that Tiffany and Jared and we are. We've got boards and projects every quarter and we manage and we plan, but that depth of complexity of experience is not required to create consistency. So I want to make sure to highlight that, because I don't want you guys to think that if I don't have all these boards and projects and Asanas that we can't create this track to run on. That's just not the case. And then two is, can we focus these conversations through the lens of, can you clarify the objective? Why is Neil and I sat there and it's like, what is it you really want to say to Catherine? What do you want to say to her? Liz, what do you really want to say to people on your team? Isaac, what do you really want to say to the team about onboarding? This can be a high level, hey, this is an area that we've done okay at, just came back from retreat and have seen that there's a lot that we can do across the board. The leaders group has a ton of capabilities. We're doing okay here, but this is an area that we want to prioritize taking a deeper dive, really asking ourselves if we are just immersing our clients in trust and confidence and capability during their first 6 to 12 months of working with us. That's what we want. We want them to feel trusted and like all that stuff we talked about in the lesson. That's part of that. It could be a breakdown. It could be, hey, you know what? The goal of this role is to be able to provide this kind of experience to our advisors to make sure that they're prepared and they can sit in that seat of right, present, and trusted advisor. And that means files have to look this way. And as we look at the process, we can see that there's a breakdown there. And I'd really like your experience about what you think is happening to create this outcome, which is way different than, why aren't you doing this right? So we can clarify the objective. What is it we're trying to solve for and communicate? Two, challenge your assumptions. This is going to hurt. Your assumption is that they're wrong and you're right. Challenge that assumption. Assume that nobody's right and you need to get curious. What's really happening here is all we really care about as business owners. We just get so emotionally invested in what's happening that we can't disengage all the stories in our head and what it means and, oh my goodness, and all the history, and just say, what's going on here? I have a good person who seems to care about his or her role, who says they want to do a good job, who's not consistently showing up in the way that I need them to. I think there's a breakdown that we, and this is for everyone's best interest, need to solve. But our stories, right, our beliefs that like, oh, we'll put it off, we'll get just, all of those things kick in. Or it can just be we're busy. But the cost of being busy or distracted is that we aren't setting our people up for success. And if we manage with the track, and then these constructive conversations along the way, it leaves very little oxygen in the room for lack of clarity. I'm not telling you it's going to make people operate the way you want them to. It's going to create a lack of clarity about whether they can and they want to. And if you don't have those two things, then it doesn't matter. If there's a breakdown in skills, you can always get it. Kim can always find a course, a class, a person, another member to call to say, help us get this skill set. So how do we create curiosity? What's happening here? What's their perspective? How are they seeing it? What's our positive frame? You hear me say things all the time like, our goal is to create an onboarding process that, so that our clients can, and that our team can be orderly and organized. You guys can have, right, all the systems running things for you, can show up and do the parts that you really like. Like, what's the frame that we can put around this that everybody agrees is good? Then our job is to gain agreement. Right? What's it going to, like, we need to ask, do you guys think that it's a good idea to address the breakdowns and create an onboarding process that solves for these things? Do we think that's a near-term issue or a longer-term issue? Now, some of the time you're going to get agreement. Some of the times as a leader, you're not. And then there's a constructive conversation around, right, how you're prioritizing and timing these things. But most of the time, relative to what we're talking about, you're going to create a space that allows you to get agreement, right? Hey, I really appreciate the contribution that you bring to this firm every single day. And we also know that you're late 4 days out of five. And while this is not a big deal on an individual basis, over time, it suggests that you're not showing up with the same level of commitment to time that the rest of the team is. And that sets a precedent that we don't feel good about. We'd just like to understand how this is showing up for you and why this experience persists in spite of the conversations that we've had. Is there some place that we can support you here? Am I judging? Am I blaming? I'm basically saying we agreed on something. This is why it's important. How can I help you? This is not being a Pollyanna, because Kim, am I going to have that conversation 17 times? No, right? If I have that conversation more than three times, what does it mean? They can't, or they don't want to, or they don't know how. Has Kim tried to solve for don't know how via this process? If we're talking about performance, yes. So we're always just trying to surface, can we get alignment around energy on this issue so that we're agreeing to disperse it in the same time, places, and ways to get the outcome we want? And when people have stuff that keeps them from doing that, some of it's methods, they don't have the tools, they're overwhelmed, they have too much on their plate, they're passive aggressive communicators and they don't know how to tell you. And some of it's their stuff. I'm conflict avoidant and I cannot say anything. I will just put my head in the sand and I will smile and nod and say, sure, but it will never get done. Right? Those are the issues we're trying to surface, because we're investing energy in these constructive conversations to keep things moving down the track. And if we can't, what does that mean? That car needs to come off the track. And sometimes that's what we're avoiding. And I'm not, again, none of you were in that horrible situation, like that tough situation, but these are the reasons in our head. It's going to be difficult. They're not going to like it. I'm going to have to build a system. I don't have time for that. But what I really trying to articulate today is just the amount of energy that we lose in our organizations by not having that clarity for ourselves, that track for our team, and then sort of those leadership communication, like how are we showing up as leaders to manage people down that track? So that's the framing for the conversation. So I thought rather than my talking at you about this for another 45 minutes, it would be much more constructive to really just identify an issue and start to break down how we can reframe it. So I'm going to ask Allison to break you into one, two, three, four, just two groups, I think, Allison.
Yeah, I think two sounds good.
And then what we'll do is go around in each group, identify the issue that we want to create forward momentum around. It could be a positive. It could be a personal issue like Neil. It could be a problem. So it could be a problem, a person, a project we want to move forward on. But where do we have some stuck energy or energy we don't feel good about around implementing that we want to move into that positive momentum flywheel? So share the issue. And then as a group, let's go through and literally go through what's the objective? How are we challenging the assumption? If you can write that down, or Allison, maybe we can cut and paste it into the chat and just go through and start to talk through those issues to get a sense of how to apply the framework for these conversations to any issue that you might be dealing with. All right. How was the conversation in room one? Did you guys get through some of those talking points and dialoguing around somebody's issue to get sort of a feel for it? What were the key takeaways? As you think about your issues, how are you going to apply that? Isaac, Liz, David?
Well, since it was my issue, I was volunteered by Liz. Thank you, Liz. my key takeaway, so we're working on our service model project.
That's just so she didn't have to talk about her issue, right?
Yes. She's up next. Key takeaways, a lot on communication, just being clear, getting clear on kind of the big why are we tackling this project? Why are things going to be better when we're done? And looking for things in the project to delegate, part of that from a, you know, getting a buy-in from everybody perspective, some good advice around slimming things down, not trying to boil the ocean every time. And I liked the 75-25 kind of buy-in, like everybody needs to be heard, but you're not going to be able to solve 100% of people's issues every time. And then my group also very kindly volunteered to spend many, many hours of peer review on the work I'm doing. So that was very nice of them.
That's what you, when you volunteer, those are the rewards.
Yes.
Great. What about, so as you guys kind of walk through that and listen to it, do you start to feel like there's layers in there? We talked about making sure everybody has agreement on the problem, right? So we talk about gaining agreement. It's not just, hey, here's the course of action. It's, hey, do we have a problem? Do we agree what the issues are with the problem? Do we agree on the process that we're going to, right? So that's all baked into, but once you've got that, that's the consensus that you need to move the kind of the spin the flywheel, if you will, to get to the next step. So as we talked about, some of these are going to be situational. Hey, we're kicking off a team meeting and then you implement. Some of them will be persistent over time. Tiff and Jared are still having those conversations with the team consistently over time, working to elevate. Like, you don't necessarily do this and go from, right? You guys are all in a pretty darn good spot from a team perspective, but we're not going to take somebody from that C level to that A level overnight. Or if someone has a behavioral issue, it's a habit. And people have those, right? There are analog people living in a digital world. Many teams have that. There are, you know, I nod my head and say, I'm going to do it, but the follow through is just never there. And then there are very proactive cases where we're just launching positive projects. So think about that structure and how you can apply it to the conversation that you're going to be having. In our room, let's see, Joe, Neil, do you guys want to, somebody want to summarize what we went through? Kim, you want to, or you guys want to summarize takeaways from that?
I guess for me, we talked about me and my paraplanner stuff, just trying to make sure that, keep everybody listening so shields don't go up, engage them all on how to make it work, and then using the, like, sort of the phrase, what will it take for us to blank, you know, get to this point, et cetera. So,
yeah, we had some good conversation around, you know, problem solving around people, but then also team problem solving. And Kim made, I thought, a really good point that you'll hear us, Tiffany and Jared did a really good job of this. If you guys want to share anything about that, is engage the team in solving the problem. You don't have to show up and say, Isaac, here's the path, right? We can show up and say, here's what we want. Here are the breakdowns. Here's the outcome we're trying to create. What do you, and it's my, one of my favorite questions, you guys hear me use it so much. What will it take for me to be gone for 45 days and everybody feel good about it? What will it take for us to launch this project and get it done in 90 days? What will it take for us to be down one paraplanner and still provide this level of service? What's it going to mean to us? How are we going to have to show up? What tech are we going to need? Those brainstorming conversations, when you can engage your team, one, they have boots on the ground, so they generally have as much or more information than you do. Two, when they get involved at that level and their brains click into having to solve the problem, they naturally become much more invested in making that outcome a reality. Like, if they've come up and engaged in the problems around that, they want to then take it and implement it, or there's a much higher probability and energy and momentum around it. So I thought that was a great point that Kim made and that Joe will apply, is it's okay to sit in the conference room on the whiteboard or the Zoom screen and say, hey, we just need to talk about what it's going to take to make this happen so that we can account for it, timeline it, budget it, and resource it in a way that will work and also feel good to everyone. That's the environment we're trying to create. Tiff, go ahead.
We had a recent example of that coming back from leaders. I was like, oh, I'm totally going to be this leader. But those, like, client status reports that several of the firms are sending out, where there's some that are doing an onboarding and some with the existing clients. Like, I was like, oh, this is going to be so great, because I feel like there's a little bit of a gap in like client communication and just transparency and like what's outstanding. And I'm like, what a great way to lift the curtain and all that stuff. So I came back to the team and I was like, like, these firms are doing these status reports, and like, think about how that changes from reactive to proactive and what that could look like. Now there's three teams and they're all in various stages of how many clients they have and if they're in surge or out of surge. And so I'm like, plant the seed. These status reports are super cool. And these outcomes that are receiving, this is what the client experience is. One. Next meeting was like, hey, by August 5th, I would love for you to report to Jared. Jared was out, so now he gets to manage this. But like, I'd love for you to like think about like how could you implement that for your team, and when and why, or what, you know, challenges will you face, and those types of things, to bring in the buy-ins for each of the leaders and how they're going to do it. I already know how like it is. And I'm like, hey, and I'm going to supply some resources and examples of other firms and what they're doing, so you can take that into consideration. We had one that jumped on it immediately and already trialed it with like several clients. And we have another one that's like, I'm an overwhelm and that scares me. Like that's added to my to-do list. So I'm like, great. Like the question is how, but instead of us being like, this is how it's going to be done, here's the way it's going to look and all those things, it's like, hey, how do you think that'll come to Jared? He can lead them, but it's no longer us. Like this needs to be done. So we plan. So I loved that.
Yeah.
And growing.
And there's guardrails, right? Like the deliverable date, the purpose, what we're trying to achieve out of it. Like those are the guardrails. So you don't get to choose to do nothing or to do something way over here. It's like, but you get to own the process and have a lot of buy-in. So it was great.
Yeah. And those status reports are stellar and I'm super excited about it.
And so what you notice Tiffany's doing there, she's clarifying the objective, like, hey, wouldn't it be great to have our clients feel this way? Right. And as she goes through that process. So again, this doesn't have to be a one and done thing. You notice what she's talking about is creating curiosity. So all of those steps apply to us and to the other person. Like, how can we get our team? So a question like, hey, we're going to do this in the next 90 days and we need to plan it out is a one-way conversation, right? What's it going to take for us to get this done in the next 90 days with the things that we've got and right that we can all leave here feeling good on Friday is a very different conversation. It's an open-ended question. Your brain cannot help but try to solve open-ended questions because it is programmed to be a curiosity problem-solving machine. So when you create curiosity, this is really cool. People's brains cannot help but step into it. What would it take? Quick
thing on that, that I'm doing also with onboarding is I kind of picked a person who can sometimes be highly critical to be the piloter. So I'm like, hey, you know, we have four teams that have to do this, but I'm asking you if you'd be willing to pilot it and be able to give feedback, right? So I'm trying to build ownership in that way as well. So piloting, and of course it was very exciting and so far so good, so.
Well, great. All right, we are at the top of the hour. I think we have about a minute to spare. So we are gonna wrap it here. I'm gonna keep 1 minute. So we're gonna get back to even here shortly. Hopefully this call helped you guys today. You're all in some form or fashion implementing changes within your firm. Many of you are implementing many changes in your firm. So after Leaders Retreat, it felt like this would be a good conversation to circle back to the structure for implementing, but also our personal and leadership strategies for how we implement with our teams at a personal level, but also at a practice level and in a way that really is productive and keeps our energy and momentum really aligned and moving forward. So as you reflect on this conversation and conversations that you guys had in the breakouts, if we can help you in any way, we're on Tribe. Feel free to drop us an email. If there's anything you want to talk through, please let us know. That is what we're here to help you for. And remember, today is Monday, so you got to bring the mojo. And remember that life is now in session. So go make awesome stuff happen.